You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm Mark McGettigan, you can find me on Twitter at FPL General. Game week 5 is behind us and we're looking ahead to game week 6. This week's deadline is on Saturday at 11am UK time. 18 Premier League sides are in action on Tuesday and Wednesday this week in the EFL Cup. So be patient with your transfers until after those games if you can be. There's 4 all Premier League ties, so we could see some strong starting 11s midweek. On today's episode, I'll run through the Game Week 5 headlines and shoutouts, do a quick Game Week review, update the watch list, answer Twitter questions, and discuss captaincy and transfers for Game Week 6. I'm not sure yet if there will be a Friday episode this week, as I'm going away for a couple of days, so keep an eye on Twitter for an update on that later in the week. If you'd like to become an Athletic subscriber, visit theathletic.com/FPLpod to get 33% off an annual subscription. In doing so, you'll get ad-free versions of this podcast. The headlines from Game Week 5. Watford's Ismail Sarr was the star of the game week, scoring twice against Norwich for a 15-pointer. Ivan Toney and Brian Mbeumo were on the score sheet as Brentford beat Wolves 2-0 away from home. A very impressive display from the Bees. Popular captain Mohamed Salah delivered 24 points for his backers as Liverpool put 3 past Crystal Palace. Southampton somehow kept Manchester City scoreless at the Etihad for their second consecutive clean sheet. Those who got Liveramento off the bench were delighted with the unexpected points. 3 Chelsea defenders made it into the team of the week. Thiago Silva, Antonio Rudiger and Marcus Alonso all scoring 10 or more points in the 3-0 win over rivals Tottenham. Rafinha and Luke Ayling both went off injured for Leeds on Friday night in a very exciting game against Newcastle, which surprisingly finished just 1-1, could have easily been 4-4. Just before I start recording as well, Leeds have tweeted today that Patrick Bamford also picked up an ankle injury in that game, so that's one to keep an eye on before the weekend as well. David De Gea saved a last-minute Mark Noble penalty, which sealed all 3 points for Manchester United. Saeed Benrahma, who emerged as a doubt for that game after Friday's FPL deadline, started and scored for a 10-pointer. Arsenal scraped another 1-0 win, this time at Burnley. Martin Odegaard scored a great free kick in that one. And Brighton moved up to fourth in the Premier League with their fourth win in 5 games, this time beating Leicester 2-1 at the Amex. So a brilliant start to the season for Graham Potter's side. Shoutouts for Game Week 5. No new members again to the 59th Minute Club this week, so hopefully Game Week 6 will get a few. Notable mentions as always, Matt Target at Aston Villa just about made it to 60 minutes to get the clean sheet points in that game. At Watford, Kiko Femenya, who was making his first start of the season, he picked up a nice assist in the game, but he went off injured after 58 minutes. At Arsenal, Emile Smith-Rowe, like Target, just about made it to 60. So it was a 3-pointer for Smith-Rowe as opposed to a 1-pointer if he had gone off a few seconds earlier. Dan James at Leeds also 60 minutes. So there was a lot of nearly new members to the club this week. At Everton, Salomon Rondon, who got his first start, managed just 62 minutes. I think just building up his fitness. He hasn't played for a long time. I think he's probably going to play in the cup midweek to build on that fitness. And a shout out as well to the guys who were hooked at half time in Game Week 5, Mason Mount, James Maddison and Roman Saiz. So as always, when you're watching the games this weekend, keep an eye on those clocks and make sure you tag me if anyone gets the dreaded substitution. A quick review of how Game Week 5 went for me. 66 points, which I think is my fourth green arrow on the bounce, so it's progress. Rank is currently sitting at 164k. Not that it matters too much at this stage of the season, but all in all, a pretty good start to the campaign. I made one free transfer. I got rid of the injured Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and I brought in Patrick Bamford. So I was between Bamford and Jimenez, went for the Leeds man, and he picked up a pretty lucky assist. So good to see Bamford get 5 points, but that injury could be a bit of a spanner in the works now. So the good and the bad. The good, first of all, I got the Tsimikas auto sub off the bench, 5 points for Trent Alexander-Arnold, Salah captain 24, Benrahma with 10, Rafinha 8, Ronaldo 6, and Bamford 5, so plenty of attacking returns in there. The bad, Sanchez Veltman blanked for Brighton, Luke Ealing, as usual, got me nothing, Luke Shaw disappointing again, I think he might have to go soon, and Mason Greenwood, a quiet performance and an early substitution. A watchlist update now. I had a bit of a clear out this week after watching all the highlights from the weekend. I removed a lot of players from the watchlist and I've now got just 21 players, which I will run through once I mention who I've added and who I've removed. So first of all, the clear outs. I removed Sergio Reguilon. Just don't see myself buying a Tottenham defender anytime soon. Cresswell is gone as well because I prefer Soufal at 5 million. I think he's better value. I've also removed basically all of the Wolves players after that Brentford performance. They were very disappointing. And again, I just can't see myself buying a Wolves player anytime soon, even though they've got the good fixture. So Cody's gone, Marcel is gone, as is Traore and Jimenez. Laporte from Manchester City, because he's injured, has left the building. Mason Mount and Havertz. I've also removed the two Chelsea midfielders. Now that might be a little bit surprising, given their fixtures are very good from Game Week 7. But I didn't like Mount getting subbed at half time. I didn't like Havertz getting subbed early either. So I think the ideal Chelsea triple up now, if you're going triple up, it's Lukaku and two defenders. So, you know, I might not end up going triple. I might just go single or double when it comes to Chelsea, but I can't see myself buying Mount or Havertz for that good run of fixtures. I've removed Wilfred Zaha as well from Crystal Palace because if I'm going to buy a Crystal Palace midfielder, it's going to be Conor Gallagher. Also, a couple of strikers gone, Broha at Southampton because he didn't start, and also Edouard at Crystal Palace for the same reasons. So big clear out of the watch list, so it's much more refined now going into Game Week 6. Players added following Game Week 5, Ben White at Arsenal, 4.4 million, back-to-back clean sheets. I think he's got a couple of bonus points as well, so he's back on my radar. Two Chelsea defenders, Rudiger and Alonso, as mentioned earlier. I think Alonso got a 10-pointer. Rudiger got 14 or 15, getting himself on the score sheet and getting the clean sheet. So Chelsea defenders are hot property at the moment, and there's a few questions about them later, so I'll come back to them. I've added three cheap strikers to the watch list as well. Alan Saint-Maximin, very exciting player. Another very good performance against Leeds. I think he's got 2 goals for the season now, and he can score against anyone, this guy. He's a very, very good player. Ivan Toney, who I owned for the first couple of game weeks. Very impressive performance against Wolves. Yeah, really good performance. Scored, assisted, had 2 goals ruled out as well. So it could have been even more points for Ivan Toney. Really good player. And I'm sure I will own him again at some point this season. And final player added this week, another striker, Timo Pukki. Mentioned him last week as a differential with good fixtures. Got his goal. So he's in my thoughts now as well, if I decide to go for a striker at that price. So I'll do this from time to time. I won't do it every week, but I'm just going to run through exactly what my watch list looks like now. So defenders, first of all, no particular order. It's probably just ordered by player prices here. Defenders on my radar at the moment, Cancelo at Manchester City. I think he's the one I'll go for over Diaz. He's just a bit more exciting and he's playing 90 minutes every week anyway. Chelsea, 4 defenders, Alonso, Rudiger, Reece James and Christensen, all in my thoughts. And again, when it comes to the question section, I'll go into that in more detail. Soufal at West Ham, White and Kieran Tierney at Arsenal, and the legend in the making that is Liveramento at Southampton. I think he went up to 4.2 million overnight, so I need to try and get this guy before he becomes 4.4 or 4.5. Midfielders on my radar, Diogo Jota. I don't know how he hasn't got FPL points over the last two game weeks. Feel like I've dodged not one bullet there, but probably three or four bullets, but I still like him as an option. Torres at Manchester City. Sarr, who's an obvious target for most people now. Damari Gray is my pick of the Everton midfielders. And a couple of cheaper guys on the watch list, Smith Rowe, Mbeumo, and Gallagher. And then when it comes to forwards, not many. I think it's only five forwards on my watch list. Going into the season, we had loads and loads of strikers to choose from. I don't think there's too many now, especially when we're all trying to have Ronaldo and Lukaku, or at least one of them. So I've got Lukaku on the watch list, Saint-Maximin, Adam Armstrong at Southampton, Tony and Timo Pukki. So that gives you an idea of the players I'm going to be targeting with my transfers over the coming weeks. And if I wildcard soon, that's the kind of player pool I will be looking at.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Twitter questions now. Thanks as always to everyone who sent them in. I've picked out 10 of the best to get through. First one is from FPL Eldon. Alonso or Rudiger? Eldon was planning on doing Reece James in for Luke Shaw for game week 7. I think as a lot of people were. But he's a rotation risk now. Eldon says his heart says Alonso, but his head says Rudiger. So yeah, Chelsea defenders is really tricky. I think we should all be looking to get them. When I'm at home and when I know Chelsea are playing and when I switch on the game, if I know there's about 60 or 70 minutes gone in the game, when I switch on the TV, I always expect to see them with zero goals conceded. They're just an elite defence. I think you need to have at least one of them, if not two of them, for their very good run of fixtures. They play Man City this week, so you don't necessarily have to go and buy one this week. But then game week 7 onwards, Chelsea defenders are going to be hot property. I think the best option is Rudiger because he plays every game. And he's a goal threat as well. And he's a little bit cheaper than some of the others. I think he's about 5.5 or 5.6. Well, I'll put Rudiger number one. It's got to the point now where I think we have to start considering Alonso. He's played every game. We could be sitting in game week 15 saying, oh, I'm not going to get Alonso because Chilwell's going to play at some point. He hasn't played at all. Alonso is clearly number one at the moment. So we should probably just view it that way and pretend we're playing FPL for the first time. And we don't know anything about previous seasons and rotation and all that kind of stuff. So I think Alonso is viable now. You buy him knowing that at some point he could drop out of the team. But the way he played against Tottenham, I mean, he was getting shots away. He was creating chances. I think he took 10 corners. He's an absolute monster when he's on the pitch. So I think he's a viable option now. So you've got Reece James as well. Even though Reece James didn't start against Tottenham, I still like him as an option. He's pretty exciting and I still think he will get plenty of game time. And then you've got Christensen, the cheapest way in. But, you know, how much game time is he going to get? I think he's played 4 of the first 5 games, which is all you can expect really from a Chelsea player. If you're going to miss 1 in every 5, you can probably deal with that. Thiago Silva did have a very, very good game. So he's going to play quite often as well when he's fit. So it's tricky. So I think for me, if I was wildcarding this week, for example, I think I'd be on Rudiger. And then I think the second one now would probably be Alonso. You know, just take that slight risk with him and just hold him until he does start getting rotated. Because like we always say, it's not a problem until it starts happening. And it might never become a problem. You know, maybe there's issues behind the scenes with Chilwell that we don't know about. So maybe Alonso will get an extended run in the team. And if you haven't seen it, just go back and watch the highlights of the Tottenham game. Alonso was phenomenal in that game. So yeah, Rudiger for me, number one. And I think Alonso has jumped up to number two now. Mendy, obviously an option as well, but he did miss out through injury last game week. So just be careful with that one and maybe wait for more information. So yeah, Chelsea defenders certainly in my thoughts. You know, I was thinking about Shaw to Reece James as well for game week 7, but I think I'm more likely to do Shaw to Rudiger now, or maybe Alonso. You know, if Alonso starts again against Manchester City, maybe I'll do Shaw to Alonso for game week 7. But Rudiger to me certainly is the safest way in. He's playing really well this season as well. He's almost playing too well to be dropped. He's arguably Chelsea's most important defender at the moment. Question from Adam, also on Chelsea. What are your thoughts on a Chelsea triple up in defence after the Man City fixture this game week? Again, it's something not too many people will do. But I think if I end up wildcarding in game week 7 or game week 8, which is looking likely because I've got issues, you know, Bamford, Rafinha, Ealing, you know, Trent's got a yellow flag. I think Trent will be fine, but my bench is very weak as well. You know, still got Tsimikas and Brownhill, Veltman, who's not doing much either. So I can see myself wildcarding at some point soon. And if I do that, I will certainly consider triple Chelsea defence. I'm pretty sure I went triple Chelsea defence on my wildcard towards the end of last season. You know, I think it was Mendy, Alonso. I can't remember who the third one was. It didn't work out very well because there was a lot of rotation around Champions League at that point. I think it's probably safer to do it at this stage of this season. Now, obviously, if you go triple Chelsea defence, you can't get the big man up front, Romelu Lukaku. But what I think is going to happen is, and we can see people talking about it already, and I mentioned it a week or two ago as well, a lot of people were planning Ronaldo to Lukaku game week 7, but Ronaldo's looking very good. His underlying numbers are very good. And I think if Ronaldo does well against Aston Villa this weekend, people are going to find it extremely difficult to follow through with that plan of going Ronaldo to Lukaku. So what you could do to compensate for not having Lukaku, just go after the Chelsea clean sheets and get 3 of them. So if you want to keep Ronaldo long term and you don't want to have Ronaldo and Lukaku up front, which is tricky to do if you've got Salah and you've got Trent, then I think we probably do need to start thinking about triple Chelsea defence as an option. I think we will see people doing it, and I'm certainly going to give it some thought myself. So good question from Adam. Just something to think about if you're planning to keep Ronaldo and you're not able to fit Lukaku in. Question from Ewan. Would you swap Antonio in for Bamford? Leeds have some great fixtures and I could also bank my transfer. So this question came in before the Bamford injury news came out today. Now, there's no information on how serious that injury is. Bamford might be fine for the weekend, and Bielsa tends to be pretty open in his press conferences, which is good. So hopefully we'll find out before Saturday's deadline if Bamford is okay or not for the weekend. But even if you forget about the injury, would I get Antonio in for Bamford? I would do that in a heartbeat, even if Bamford was fit, because Antonio plays that Leeds team who have no defenders left. You know, Ealing's injured now as well. They've got no centre-backs. So I think, you know, you want to have Antonio for the Leeds game in Game Week 6. If you sold Antonio when he was suspended, I would just go straight back to him. And I would have no hesitation going Bamford to Antonio, because, you know, Bamford got the assist at the weekend, but it was another very disappointing performance from him. He had one very good chance towards the end and he just snatched at it. And he's been snatching at things all season. So even though I own him, you know, I don't think he'll be in my team for very long if he continues playing the way he is. Antonio's a monster. If you don't have him, I would probably prioritise getting him back in this week for that Leeds fixture. Question from Take It Easy, something we should all be doing more of these days. Is Greenwood going to lose his place soon with Sancho, Rashford and Jesse Lingard waiting? United did score that goal after Greenwood was taken off. So yeah, Take It Easy is worried about Greenwood's game time. I'm slightly worried myself as an owner now as well. I think he played about 72 minutes. He wasn't really involved in the game all that much against West Ham. So, and then obviously when Sancho and Lingard came on, that's when United scored the winner. So Solskjaer has lots of options. You know, Cavani needs to come into the mix as well at some point. So Greenwood will, I'm sure, get a rest at some point soon. He's played a lot of football over the last couple of game weeks. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him on the bench in the next game or two, you know, for one of those games. So he's probably on a short leash for me now in my team. He's one of those players where if the minutes start getting reduced and players like Sancho and Lingard start eating into his minutes, then I'd be inclined to move away and try and find a 90-minute man instead in midfield. So Greenwood, I think he's fine to keep for the Aston Villa game. And then I think we reassess it after that one, because I think Aston Villa is a very good fixture. You know, as long as he's starting every game, I think we keep him. It's probably when we see that first bit of rotation, you know, as a bench player, when we need to start thinking about selling him. But yeah, fine to keep for Aston Villa, but then I think it might be time to go then, because United's fixtures do get trickier after that anyway. So maybe it will be a perfect storm to lose him, you know, game week 7. Next question is from Reem. If you have Torres, do you keep or sell? So disappointing that he was benched in the last game week. Sterling got the start, but I probably see that as a positive now, he's had his rest, so you know he could come back in now and get 3 or 4 starts. So if I own Torres, I would be inclined to keep him because he's still very cheap, out of position, playing up front for one of the best teams in the league. So yeah, if I had Torres, I would keep him. It's very likely that you've got other fires that you could fight in your squad instead. You've probably got a weaker link than Torres, and I would fix that, or I would bank a transfer and I would just keep Torres. Question from Chris. Is it time to start considering Vardy as a viable premium light option? He's got decent fixtures for the medium term. He's nailed. He's on penalties. He gets rested in Europe and historically performs better in the first half of the season. Wee Jamie Vardy is currently the second top scoring forward. Vardy's an interesting one. You know, he's getting almost completely overlooked now because of Ronaldo and Lukaku. Also, partly because Leicester have had a pretty, you know, not a great start to the season, but that hasn't stopped Vardy from getting his points. So I think we probably should be giving Vardy more thought, but I think it's very tricky because I think once you go for a Ronaldo or a Lukaku, or both, if you go both, Vardy's ruled out straight away. If you go one big striker, and if you've got Salah and you've got Trent, it's very, very tricky to fit players in like Vardy or Son, who cost around 10 million. So I think the game is kind of making our decision for us this season. But certainly if you think Vardy's going to do well over the coming game weeks and you want to try something slightly different, you know, go against the grain, you know, you can't argue that the Vardy isn't a good option. He has, you know, he's been pretty good so far this season. I know he's expensive, but he's scoring goals and he's getting points. So yeah, I think he's viable, but he's not for me because I do prefer the Lukaku's and the Ronaldo's this season. Question from Petter. Should I wildcard if I've had a bad start to the season? Because I'm watching all my mates breaking away in the mini leagues as a way of reacting. So when it comes to wildcard, you shouldn't wildcard just because you've had a bad start and because your friends are getting away from you in your mini league. First of all, there's a long way to go. Things can change. But when you're deciding whether or not to wildcard, you shouldn't really factor in whether you've had a good start or a bad start to the season. That's kind of irrelevant. Your wildcard, your starting point is right now. You look at your squad right now. How does it look? How does it look for the next 4 or 5 game weeks when you have a look at the fixtures? If your squad is in good shape and you think it can score a lot of points, then you probably don't need a wildcard. But if you're unhappy with your squad, if you think you've got a lot of weak links, you know, 4 or 5 players that you really don't want to have anymore, then you can, you know, consider wildcarding. But don't wildcard just because you've had a bad start, because that doesn't mean you have a bad team. Your team who have disappointed for the first 5 game weeks, that same team, if it's a good team on paper, could perform very well over the next 5 game weeks. So it really is team dependent on how you're currently set up. It's more about the players you currently own. So yeah, you know, try and forget about how the first 5 game weeks have gone and just focus on how your squad looks right now. Question from FPL Camel, who is tinkering with some wildcard ideas, most likely for game week 8. Is it worth saving 0.5 million and going for Kyle Walker over Cancelo or Diaz? Or should I bother with a Man City defender at all? So I think when it comes to wildcard for myself, if it is in 7 or 8, I'll certainly be looking at Cancelo. I will give Diaz some consideration as well, but I just think Cancelo is much more exciting. And with Mendy out of the picture, you know, Cancelo can play right back, he can play left back. So he's getting a lot of game time. I think he started every game so far this season in the league. So I certainly wouldn't go for Walker because he will get rotated. It's only 0.5 million anyway. So if you're going for a City defender, it's got to be Cancelo or it's got to be Diaz. And you know, I wouldn't overthink it. I wouldn't try and save cash there. Just get one of those two because those are the best picks. And I do think one City defender is a good idea for the long term. Question from Dan John. For those of us who have hit the wildcard button this week, do you feel like taking Ronaldo with the intent of switching him to Lukaku in game week 8 is wise? Or should we stay blue and be freer in our immediate transfers for the future? So the idea here is if you're on a wildcard this week, you would keep Ronaldo, probably captain him against Aston Villa, because Lukaku has a tough game against City this week, and then you would make the switch next week. So I do think that's viable. You know it's going to be hard to sell Ronaldo if he does well against Aston Villa. So if you've got a lot of willpower, then I think it's viable. but I don't really like booking transfers in on a wild card. This is probably one occasion where I probably would be able to make an exception, because when there's a captain involved, you know, if you're going to wild card this week, you know, captain Ronaldo against Aston Villa does sound pretty good. And then hopefully you don't have any issues next week and just make the switch to Lukaku. I think it's fine because the fixtures play out that way and you'll probably captain Lukaku next week anyway against Southampton. So yeah, I think it's fine. It's a rare scenario where I would say booking in a transfer on a wild card is fine. So yeah, I think that's probably what I would be doing if I was wildcarding this week. Ronaldo would stay. Lukaku probably wouldn't be in it because he plays Man City. And then you've got the decision next week. Do you get Lukaku or do you load up on Chelsea defenders on your wildcard this week? It's probably a tricky week to wildcard when it is Chelsea against Man City. Because if you're wildcarding, you probably want to have Man City and Chelsea players and then they play each other. So it's not ideal. But again, you've probably got to do it for the long term. You know, it might even be a case of benching some, you know, expensive defenders this week if you don't think they're going to keep clean sheets. So yeah, Ronaldo this week to Lukaku this week is perfectly viable. Final question is from Arnesh. What are the teams to target other than Chelsea for the upcoming fixture? So what I've done is I've had a look at the fixture ticker for the next six game weeks. The top five teams with the best fixtures for that period are Chelsea number one, then it's Leeds, Arsenal, Southampton and Norwich. So Chelsea we've spoken about in detail. Leeds have been disappointing. Again, you know, should have been beating Newcastle on Friday night but didn't get over the line. Lots of issues there now as well. Rafinha, Bamford, Ealing, centre back. So Leeds, even though they have the good fixtures, it doesn't feel great to be investing in them at the moment. So I'll skim over them. Arsenal, they've got the two wins, they've got the two clean sheets. So I think players like Ben White, you know, Tomiyasu at right back, Tierney at left back, Ramsdale looks like he's going to emerge as a goalkeeper as well. So I think Arsenal is a decent place to go. You've got Smith Rowe. I know he didn't play 90, but I still think he's a good option. Saka looked pretty good at the weekend as well. So Arsenal have got plenty of options. Southampton, Adam Armstrong, I think, and Livramento. Those are the two to go for there. And then Norwich, it's probably Pukki or no one. So those are just a couple of teams that have got good fixtures coming up as well.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Game week six, captaincy and transfers now. So captaincy, first of all, I think there is three standout captains this week. Ronaldo is at home to Aston Villa. I think he's the best option. Salah is away to Brentford and Antonio is away to Leeds. So if I was to rank these, Ronaldo number one, I would probably put Antonio ahead of Salah this week because I just think Leeds are so porous defensively. And I've been very, very impressed by Brentford this season, in particular defensively. So I think, you know, Brentford away is not a super easy fixture for Liverpool and Salah. So Ronaldo will be my captain, I'm pretty sure. Antonio will probably get my vice captaincy. And I'll just let Salah do whatever he does without the armband this week. So I put a poll on Twitter this morning. It got 4,500 votes at the time of recording. I put the three options in it, and the fourth one was see the results. So as expected, Ronaldo came out on top, 47.8%. Salah came out in second, 30.9%. And Antonio came out with 13.8%. So the poll slightly disagrees with me. The poll puts Salah number two, Antonio number three. But yeah, that's expected. You know, a lot of people are going to go Salah, even though Brentford have been good this season. So for me, pretty set on Ronaldo captain against Aston Villa. Like I said a few times, I'm favouring home advantage as much as possible this season because I think it's playing a factor. But Ronaldo is the only player of those three who are playing at home this weekend. Transfers for game week 6, I've only got one free transfer. Option 1, as always, can I save a transfer? Probably going to be tricky for me this week. It depends on the fitness of Rafinha, Trent, and now Bamford as well. In an ideal world, if all players were fit, I would like to bank a transfer, because then it leaves me flexible for game week 7 to get, you know, one, maybe two Chelsea players in. Option 2, if Rafinha is ruled out, I could go for Watford Sar, which feels like an easy move. Sar has two very good fixtures coming up. Option 3, wildcard. And I had noted down here before I start recording that this was not going to be an option this week, but then I seen the Bamford news, so it's got the wildcard juices flowing again. There always seems to be something every week that gets me thinking about a wildcard. So what I'm going to do tonight, as I've done for the last couple of game weeks, I'm going to sit down for an hour, you know, build a wildcard squad tonight and see how it feels. So the last few times, it hasn't felt like the right time. So I'll do that tonight and see how it feels. And I'm not really activating the wildcard tonight, which is Tuesday. So, but again, I wish Chelsea weren't playing Man City this week, because that does make the wildcard a little bit trickier. So it's either hit the wildcard button tonight or just hold off as usual until Friday night and then make one free transfer once I have all the information available. So again, undecided as of Tuesday. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it useful. Please leave a review wherever you're listening and make sure to hit the subscribe button. If you'd like to support me as a full-time fantasy manager, check out patreon.com/FPLgeneral, where you'll get extra content and podcasts throughout the season and also get access to my Slack channel. Have a great week, folks, and I will talk to you again soon.
The Athletic.